This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Sam Lubman in for Dan Devone. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors This Week. 1 hour in, two to go. 9 to noon every single Saturday, chopping it up about everything Golden State Warriors related. Only really one game to react to this week. 91-90, the Rockets knocked the Warriors out of the vaunted Emirates NBA Cup. Sam, I'm not going to lie to you. Before we get back into our conversation, and I do want to get the trade machine involved because it's spicy this time of year. Officially, I think like 90% of the league is officially open to be traded as of tomorrow on December 15th. So that's why all these trade rumors have been swirling. But I kind of like the cup. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just like becoming assimilated. You know, I'm becoming one of the cronies for Adam Silver and what the NBA is trying to push upon us. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like the red court necessarily, but I don't know. I like the idea of quality basketball teams having to play each other. And even if the NBA Cup is this like pseudo form of competition, I'm in if it means that the Warriors get to play the best of the best and we get to see good basketball.
Yeah, I'm kind of whatever on it. I don't think it's the most incredibly needed thing in the world, but it seems like it's juiced up a little bit more excitement, though. I guess the Final Four, I don't know if you saw, Evan.
The Final Four?
The Final Four for the NBA Cup, Bucks, Hawks, Thunder, Rockets. Ticket prices plummeted when those four teams were locked in.
Another reason I'm in. Suppress prices. We got discounts.
Cheap flight to Vegas. Make all your money back on the tables. Basically go for free at that point.
Or just double down. That way. Yeah. put it all on red.
I guess if I were to say the number one thing I don't like about the NBA Cup is the colored courts. Some of them work. The Warriors, they kind of had the smoky gray. I was on board with that. The Celtics with that bright green, not a fan of that. The Rockets with that, you know, blood red, as Steve Kerr said, descending into the depths of hell. Was not a fan of that one. The Nuggets they had with that bright yellow one. So some of the court colors, not a fan of that, aesthetically speaking. That's a small fix. To me, when I look at the NBA Cup, I'll be honest, there's a part of me that's kind of glad the Warriors aren't going to Las Vegas. Not because I'm afraid of them getting in trouble, just because, you know, and this we had Anthony Slater on Wednesday on the Morning Roast, and his line was that it would be suggestible for the Warriors to lose to the Rockets on Wednesday night, because then you do get to come home. You do get a couple days off at home, a couple days of practice. You got a game against a not, you know, between the Thunder and the Mavericks, you have a game against a not as good team in the Mavericks. So you have a chance to kind of get a win there. And then you got 4 days off at home to get ready for Memphis. All of that sounds far more appealing than coming home, getting on a plane, going to Vegas, battling with the Thunder, potentially winning that game, staying in Vegas, you know, battling with either the Bucks or the Hawks in a game that doesn't mean anything except for, you know, money and the cup, I guess, and the banner. And
well, Pat Spencer wants the paycheck.
That's true. I at the end of the day, though, I just the incentive for the Warriors to win, I believe, is just too small to where I would rather see this team get some practice time in, get some time to kind of work out some of their issues, go over the film, what's going on down the stretch that we can correct. And more importantly, you got 7 nights to sleep in your own bed. You know, 7 nights to enjoy the home cooking, 7 nights to just drive home right after work, not have to go to a hotel, not have to deal with any of that. And I think that's what's most advantageous, because, Evan, we just spent this last segment talking about how Steph and Draymond are old and, you know, they're seeing their minutes reduced to kind of keep them fresh. And, you know, when Steve Kerr is saying, it's like, oh, yeah, I really want to go to Las Vegas. We really wanted to win that. A part of me thinks that, like, come on, Steve, that I don't believe that. Like, it's you're saying that because if a head coach says, yeah, I want nothing to do with the in-season tournament, that's probably not a good look for the league. So I think overall the Warriors in a better spot, which is weird to say after a loss, but they're in a better spot not having to deal with the stress of the NBA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. I mean, I'm just having some fun. I think that...
I mean, to poo-poo on your fun, but...
Well, no, the Warriors, I think outside of the All-Star break, no NBA team will have a week in which they only... Like, one game in 7 days is extremely rare,
mm-hmm.
if it ever happens during the NBA season. So the fact the Warriors can get that built in for players like Curry and Draymond, I think is valuable. But losing that kind of game to the Rockets is not. Because we might end up looking at the end of this season, whereas I think last year the Warriors were either a game or two out of being out of the play-in entirely. And if that's a game that costs you, now you could look at the Denver game that costs you, the San Antonio game that costs you, the meltdown of the second half, that Brooklyn that costs you. Maybe it's more, you know, kind of those bigger issues than one particular game. But the way they lost certainly didn't make it feel like they wanted that game.
No, absolutely.
They wanted to beat the Houston Rockets.
No, I'm not saying they lost on purpose or they punted that game aside. And by the way, it was 2 years ago, the year they lost to the Lakers in the second round, they finished a game up on the Lakers to get that sixth seed there. So they avoided the play-in. The Lakers had to go into the play-in tournament. And that obviously set up that matchup later on. But that's all to your point, though, Evan, and I think I mentioned it in the first segment of the show. The West is just such a cluster right now where a two-game win streak can shoot you up 2-3 spots. A two-game losing streak can knock you down 2-3 spots. So, am I happy that they lost that game on Wednesday night in terms of just because they got the loss? No, absolutely not. I absolutely wanted them. I wanted a 16-game streak against the Rockets. Like, that was my internal battle on Wednesday night.
They had to,
like,
lose eventually.
Yeah, but at the same time, it didn't have to be that night. Like, let's see if we can make it to 20. I love the Warriors just absolutely humiliating the Rockets for that long of a time. And so, yeah, that was my battle. It's like, I don't want this team to have to deal with the cup, but I don't want this team to lose to the Rockets. So, and of course, they did end up losing to the Rockets. But yeah, that was a game you need, because you never know at the end of the year whether it's with a tiebreaker with the Rockets, whether it's just, you know, if you're in the seventh spot, a game out of whoever's in the sixth spot, you're going to look back at that Rockets game and you're going to be punching air because of what could have been. So, in that sense, yes, that was bad, but in the overall sense of just kind of the big picture of this season, I think the Warriors are in a perfect spot right now, not having to go to Vegas for the NBA Cup.
No, and look, I think the Warriors season, it's not going to be determined by whether or not they win the NBA Cup or not. They're going to play the Dallas Mavericks now on Sunday. They get Klay Thompson. And by the way, you can go to warriors.com/tickets because that game was not originally listed on the schedule if you want to get to Chase Center, get some home cooking, enjoy the only game of this week. Yep, 5:30 start. Mark Grandy's going to have pre and post for you tomorrow night. But the thing about the Warriors that right now I think everybody is concerned about is, well, how do they improve this roster? Okay, is it internally? Seems more probable that it's externally. They position themselves this offseason with a lot of smaller, flexible, tradable contracts. Do they make a move? And of course, all the trade talks, like I mentioned, are beginning to happen because the majority of the league is eligible to be traded as of tomorrow on December 15th. And that is literally 90 to 95% of the league. So the Warriors, as of tomorrow, could make a move. Now, Steve Kerr said yesterday on Willard and Dibbs, he doesn't expect anything until February when it becomes real, but all the talks are beginning to emerge. And the two teams that I think have been most in the rumor mill, Sam, are the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, to the Warriors, and then the Brooklyn Nets. And there's been a lot of hypotheticals, but do you feel like the Warriors are aimed at trying to acquire a big fish like the Shams Charania report earlier this week said, or do you feel like they'd be better positioned trying to trim the hedges with something like Cam Johnson, Dennis Schroeder, I don't know, Cam Thomas has been involved. There's other names that are emerging that we can get to in a minute, but I'll just throw that at you. Like, what kind of tickles your fancy?
I mean, the vibe I get is they want to go a little bit bigger. They want to bring in that superstar there. Whether that superstar is available is yet to be seen. But yeah, it basically, Evan, the way I look at it is just, do you go all in and punt on the future for the slight chance of winning this year? Or do you just kind of take your chances what you have right now, save your future assets for the slight chance that you could build a great team down the road? I feel like that's kind of the battle that Joe Lacob is having right now. Because, you know, he's not just thinking short term. You know, he's always thinking light years ahead. That's probably where he got the nickname Joey Lightyears from. But as far as what I want, yeah, I would probably like to see them go a little bit more all in. Just because I do think it's, you only got a couple more years of Steph Curry right now. I would love to see the Warriors, you know, get him and Draymond that fifth ring. And kind of, you know, they would put him over LeBron, one behind Jordan. I mean, that's big for NBA legacy purposes there. Now, as far as options, I'll say right off the rip, I am out on Jimmy Butler coming to the Warriors. That is just a headache that I don't think the Warriors really want to put themselves at risk of having to deal with. In terms,
why is he
of,
a headache?
Oh, Jimmy Butler, he can be kind of a prima donna sometimes, like a lot of guys, but a little bit more so. So when I drive into work in the morning, I like to listen to our Odyssey sister station out in Miami, WQAM. I listened to him a lot when I was in college at the University of Miami. So yeah, I like to listen to him now. I feel like I'm back in school. And during that Heat playoff run this last year, there was just no joy to be had in Jimmy Butler. There's no trust in him. Yet Pat Riley, you know, kind of telling Jimmy he needs to stop talking. It feels like Jimmy Butler's kind of wearing out his welcome in Miami. And when Pat Riley's starting to kind of take shots at you and wanting to move off of you, that's one of the elite guys in the league, Pat Riley. They call him the Godfather for a reason. If Pat Riley has issues with you, that's a red flag with me. And Jimmy Butler, he's 35, and if he's going to come in here, is he going to be willing to basically be number three behind Steph and Draymond? I don't know if that's going to be the case with him. So it's just the scoring potential, yeah, it's great. He's a great playoff performer. But you don't know what Jimmy Butler you're going to get. And I'd rather the Warriors just not take that risk.
So it has more to do with his demeanor than his game.
Yeah, because I do think that's a big part of it.
I think it is too. I think that's the part that I'm actually least concerned about. Because Jimmy Butler has a track record of winning wherever he goes. He hasn't won a championship. But in Miami, with significantly less talented casts around him, which he'd probably be playing with in Golden State. We didn't get to whether I think it'd be a good trade or not, but just from an attitude standpoint, I would not be worried about Jimmy Butler one iota, because he has been to two finals with the Heat, multiple Eastern Conference Finals appearances. He helped the Minnesota Timberwolves back in the day get to their first playoff appearance in over a decade. He helped Joel Embiid get to the furthest he's ever been in the postseason in Philadelphia. And he also helped Miami. I realize that Pat Riley is a great basketball mind, but Pat Riley's Miami Heat was pretty much dormant and dead from the time that LeBron James went back to Cleveland until he got Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy Butler, the stats are not anything that's going to jump out at you. He's averaging 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, though he is shooting an all-time best, 55% from the floor. The other part about it, too, is, and this is, I think, why I would consider a player like that. Jimmy Butler, to me, I don't think I could do, but I see why, which is, if you bring him in, he's not the number three. He is a lot. Jimmy Butler would be closer to being your number one than your number three, in my opinion, because I think that's what the Warriors are trying to find. And that's the biggest, I think, thing that jumped out to me, say, on Wednesday against Houston, is if Curry cannot be your bona fide number one every single game, then either you need to elevate someone like Jonathan Kuminga who can help and try to be that player, or you need to go out and acquire one. And Jimmy Butler fits that to a T. Now, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. I think he's very expensive.
$48 million.
He also potentially comes off the books next year, which allows you to reset, maybe keep a max slot. There's a lot of machinations you could use. My point is that if you go get Jimmy Butler, you are trying to find a player that is either equal or better at succeeding in those late-game situations than Steph Curry. And that's what the Warriors, I think, are trying to find. I don't know if they'll be able to get it, but that's what Jimmy Butler represents to me if you do trade for him.
No, definitely. I mean, the scoring punches there. When I say the number three, in terms, I mean just the overall kind of where they are in this, the pecking order of this team. Obviously, this is Steph's team. You know, everyone's going to fall behind Draymond second. But yeah, scoring-wise, you would have essentially a 1A and a 1B with Jimmy and Steph there. So in that sense, it does help. What you have to give up to get Jimmy as well might also be difficult. Again, $48 million, that's a lot of money you'd have to match. So obviously, Andrew Wiggins, it seems like he's going to be gone in any of these big-time trades that you're going to have to move off of Wiggins. I'd be kind of curious, though, after that, though. I mean, again, you can move D'Anthony Melton. So that's going to be that helps out a lot as well there. After that, though, I mean, can you move Jimmy Butler and still hold on to a guy like Jonathan Kuminga in return there? I mean, how are we so married to Kuminga being a part of this team's future that would that give you pause if I told, like, last summer we were talking about the Lowry Markkanen trade, and the hang up it seemed was always, would you bring in Lowry? Absolutely. Would you bring in Lowry for JK? I don't know. Would you bring in Lowry for Brandon Podziemski? I don't know. The whole point of bringing in a player is you got to send a player back. So if it was, you could get Jimmy Butler, but you got to part with Kuminga. Does that give you pause at all?
It would. I don't think that, look, I don't know. I might be in the minority. I'm moving towards, and I have been for some time. Me and Dan have talked about this, but I got to find out what Jonathan Kuminga has. He's 22 years old. Like, I don't think his ceiling is infinite, but there's just too much there for me to give up on. And if you ask me right now whether I'd pay him or trade him, I'm further leaning towards paying him. And to me, that is, unless you can find another player out there, and we can get to one in a second that I actually think is very interesting. But to me, giving up on Kuminga at this point, it's like, well, then why'd you do the dance with him in the first place? Why'd you take him to prom? You know? So that's just me. But
juice him up or something. But no, I agree with you there. It's just, the more Kuminga's been playing this year, I mean, I've always been a fan of Kuminga ever since they drafted him. I thought he showed a lot of promise in that first year. I want to see more of him these last 2 years. And it's just, I remember that Portland game last year. He came in, he played the final 16 minutes and basically carried the Warriors there. It just, ever since then, it just feels like he's a kind of a different guy. And you're seeing it more and more and more this year. And at 20, I keep forgetting that he's 22 years old. He's one of those guys that seems like he's been around for so long that...
Well, he has.
Yeah, it's 4 years. it feels like he's like 26, 27. But no, you forget that he is only just 22, just scratching the surface of the potential he could be having. I'm not really willing to punt on that yet for a potential run with Jimmy Butler that might not get the Warriors to where they're looking to get.
The idea that Jimmy Butler doesn't make you better to me is laughable. Like, I mean, he would be the second best player on this team.
Oh, absolutely.
Fine, Steph Curry. If there was a way that the Warriors could get Jimmy Butler without moving Andrew Wiggins, then I would consider trading Jonathan Kuminga. but I don't think you can make it work without Wiggins being involved in the deal.
Well, that $26 million, I have the trade machine up here.
Well, it'd be either Wiggins or Draymond, and I don't really think you want to move either of those players.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to move Draymond either. You could, I'm plugging in here. Draymond or Wiggins could make that trade successful. The trade I have up right here on the computer, Evan, as I'm playing with this as we talk about it.
Okay.
Right now I just put Draymond in for Wiggins, but Draymond or Wiggins, Melton, I put GP2 in there, and Jonathan Kuminga. And then on the Heat side, I got Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson, which I don't know if he would be coming back either. That's for the Heat to decide. This is just me playing around with it. But
at the end
of the day, yeah, one of those big contracts, Draymond or Wiggins, has to go there. I have a hard time seeing it be Draymond, just because what he means to this team defensively, how he's able, especially if he's going to be coming off the bench, his ability to run that second unit. I think Draymond's just, his value to this team is just too great to part with in exchange for Jimmy Butler.
I don't think that they would trade Draymond, but in my mind, moving him to the bench actually means that Draymond is closer to being a 25-minute-per-game player than he is 35-minute-per-game player. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about Kuminga at this point. I think that's what we're learning with the Warriors. But again, I don't think there's a trade that's imminent, but we're talking about what they need. I think a lot of people are more into the Nets package. That might be Cam Johnson, who's a solid wing. He's on a good contract. Dennis Schroeder gives you some immediate scoring punch that you can either plug and play alongside Steph, or he can come off the bench. That limits Pod's minutes, which he's probably played far too many over the recent weeks. Now, I just wonder where people are at with it. At 888-957-9570. Let's go to San Jose and talk to Austin. Wants to get into some of the Warriors' needs. Austin, you're on with Evan and Sam. What's going on, man?
Hey, fellas. Happy Saturday. Good conversation. Listen, I'm with you, Evan. I think you're saying, talking about Jimmy Butler right now. I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm not as married to these guys. I think Warrior fans, and I'm one of them, I think we tend to fall in love with guys that we draft, you know, and I think, as you just said, it's kind of funny when every time we talk about bringing somebody in, we act like we can't get rid of the guys we have. And I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Kuminga's really, he's a great talent. I love Kuminga, but if I can improve the team and put us in a position we probably could get a 4 or 5 seed, why wouldn't you do it? This notion that we've got to continue with these guys like Moody and Kuminga and all these guys we fall in love with, yeah, they might be decent guys, they might be good players, but if we don't believe in them now and they can't win for us, what's the point? So the money aside, I think you find a way to make the money work. If it's Butler, I would go get him. They need a guy that can finish a game. I mean, the last couple of games, guys, they couldn't make a shot in the last 3 minutes or so. We talk about it can't just be Steph. Steph is on the end of his playing career. Steph cannot go 40 minutes, 38 minutes a night anymore. So he's going to have to take nights off going forward. So who is going to do it? Kuminga? I don't know if Kuminga's that guy. I'm not going to say he can't do it. I don't think any of us know that. But this notion all of a sudden that Kerr is going to elevate Kuminga and see what he can do, I got a problem with that, guys. After 4 years of being in the system, and I know everybody talks about he's young, he's 22. Hey, man, if you can play in the NBA, it doesn't matter. This whole age thing is blown out of proportion. If you can play in the NBA, you're on the court. And the fact that Jonathan Kuminga the organization does not believe right now that he's the guy, nah, I would move him. You move guys when they have value. You don't wait until they don't have value or pretend they have value and say, I'm not going to go get this guy. You go get guys that are going to make you better. We need a number two, maybe a 1A. If it's Jimmy Butler, heck yeah, go get him, guys. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Look, I agree with that in principle, honestly. The idea that, all right, Sam, when do you sell a stock and when do you buy a stock? Because that's essentially what players are to front offices. They're assets.
I mean, that's the kind of the time you have to make that decision on Jonathan Kuminga. I think it's kind of interesting, you know, if you do bring Jimmy Butler and what Austin said, you can get that 4 or 5 seed. I mean, is that still good enough to where you could see this team making a run through the playoffs? You're going to bring in Jimmy Butler. You're going to have to give away a lot of depth pieces in return. And so, I mean, that's to be taken a lot away from your bench as well. You can't just be winning with just your top scorers. I mean, the Warriors used to be able to do that, but when you have Steph, you know, Clay, and KD, you don't need to worry about your bench depth as much because you have enough scoring up top to offset that. With Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's not young either. He's 35. Steph is 36, Draymond's 34. So your three best players would be, you know, all 34 or plus, and you're going to have a bench that, again, you might not have Kuminga, you might not have GP2, or you might not have other pieces. You might not have Pods or Moody or Looney. And so if you take those pieces away to bring in a Jimmy Butler, I think if anything, you go up when you bring in Butler, but then you go right back down when you get rid of those other guys. So it's just you're moving it almost like moving deck chairs around on the Titanic. Like at the end of the day, I don't know if that all that movement gets you to the Warriors to where they need to be.
I agree with that, and we can get into it more on the other side. This idea of what the Warriors are actually looking for in a trade. Are they looking for an actual superstar? Because that's going to cost them, to your point, Sam, a lot of their depth, which has made them successful. Or are they looking for something that can fit now and fit later? I don't think that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is putting himself in a position to go all in for this season. To me, Jimmy Butler is a trade that you're kind of going all in for.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, where does that leave you? I'll explain it on the other side. There's also another name that was floated out there yesterday by ESPN's Bobby Marks that I think is fascinating that we can get into that I think kind of hits on what we're going to move into on the next side of this conversation. Right, I see you, Gloria, in San Francisco. We'll get to your calls on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Lubman in for Dan DeVone with Evan Giddings on Warriors This Week. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're halfway home. Up until 12 o'clock every single Saturday, 9 to noon. Warriors here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors This Week, which is featuring Sam Lubman alongside Evan Giddings, Stephen Rizzotto, Cam Williams in the studio with us as well. Yeah, we've unlocked the trade machine now, Sam. We talked about Jimmy Butler. I think in a vacuum, he's a player that represents to me you trying to upgrade the roster. Whether you want to do it or not is up to you. To me, it's something that there's a little too much cost involved, but I agree with the premise of trying to acquire another star named player. I think the Warriors are in need of essentially help around Curry. And the question is whether they can find that internally or externally quick enough to help steer this season back into the direction in which it started, which was looking like a top four, or certainly a top six seed. But the next part of this, too, is, all right, well, if they can't go there, is it Dennis Schroeder? I think he's someone that's less expensive, certainly, than Butler. But the Nets have already thrown out this idea, according to the New York Post, I think, that they want a first-round pick. Now Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports is reporting that someone like Nikola Vucevic, who's another target that'd be cheaper, obviously, than Jimmy Butler, the Bulls want a first-round pick. I think the Nets would also want far more than just a first-round pick and salary filler for someone like Cam Johnson. So it isn't as if these other players that are not as expensive and, you know, basically, you have to gut your roster for Jimmy Butler, but you have to give up a lot of future draft capital to go get someone like Cam Johnson, Nikola Vucevic, Dennis Schroeder, all of which I believe are good players, but are certainly not the star caliber
They're
that you're looking
mortgage
for.
Mortgage the future kind of players.
Not in my opinion. No, I'm not giving up a first round pick for Dennis Schroeder. I'm sorry. I'm not.
No, I don't think he's worth a first round pick at all either. I'll sign off on that.
The Comcast Business Text Line is bringing in a couple names from the 650. Is there anybody else you'd be interested in? Tyrese Maxey, Bruce Brown, Anthony Simmons. Tyrese Maxey, I would get in a heartbeat. The only issue is I don't really know why Philadelphia would trade him.
No, I don't. That seems like, unless Philly is just wanting to blow things up completely and go back and trust the process for the next 5 years, I don't think they're going
to
be doing that.
I do think the Sixers will be trying to get off of Paul George's contract as of tomorrow. Again,
Do we go down that one again?
Well, to me, he's the same conversation as Jimmy Butler. Like, I think he's a good player. Is he better than Curry across his career? No.
No.
But he certainly gives you another option to close with. And if Kerr is going to do what Curry wanted to do, which I think is what he referenced on Wednesday, I want to get into this sound real quick, as far as options for the Warriors. Here's what Curry said about his last shot in Houston.
Man, Dell was hawking the whole 94 feet, and when you find a little bit of space, I shoot that shot all the time. And obviously, the way it went down, loose ball, the 50-50 ball into a unreal loose ball foul that changed the game. So definitely probably a couple seconds too early. I like the shot if we make it. If I make it, we're on a plane to Vegas. So I live with it, but tough way to end.
All right, well, there was another quote in which he was talking about offense at the end of games and basically saying we need to simplify our sets. That to me sounds like pick and roll basketball. And players like Jimmy Butler or Paul George or other alphas, essentially, that's the kind of basketball, the brand of basketball that they play. That to mm-hmm. me is why you would go and try and acquire a player like that.
By the way, Paul George on the hook for $49 million this year, and he's got three more years.
And a lot more after that.
So if you acquire Paul, like Jimmy Butler, you say he's got the out after this year, it's a player option. You could obviously move off of that. Paul George, though, you're marrying yourself to him for the foreseeable
future. Well, the Warriors
were
ready to marry him this summer. They were going to offer him a max contract if the Clippers said yes to that deal.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's a part of me that thinks they might have dodged a bullet on that one.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they also might have basically stuck themselves in the play-in. I'm not sure. I think the Warriors overall are comfortable with not having $200 million of Paul George on their ledger.
I just think it's one of those things, like, whatever he gives you this year is great. Whatever he gives you the next 3 years, you're probably not going to be a fan of. That's how I saw it with Paul George, who, again, like Steph, like Draymond, like Jimmy Butler, he's getting up there in age. I believe Paul George is 34 also, 34 to 35. So
he's 35 years
35,
old.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's you're marrying yourself to a guy who's been making close to, you know, over $50 million in his age 38 season. Those are a lot of numbers there that I just don't like my NBA team being associated with.
Curry's going to make over $60 million in his age 38 season. How about that?
Steph's got a little bit more equity there, but yeah, fair point.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Sam Lubman with you on Warriors this week. Let's go out to San Francisco in a windy city, I might add. Let's talk to Gloria, wants to get into the aftermath of the Houston loss. Gloria, thank you for holding on. How are you?
Well, I pulled over to the side. The wind is very gusty, and I wanted to really collect my thoughts and chime in on this topic. A little wet, but glad to be in online with you guys. It hurt my
feelings. You pulled off the side, too, for safe driving purposes as well, Gloria. That's very smart of you as well.
Thank you. I won't lie. It hurt my feelings to see the Warriors lose in that fashion twice. They couldn't get a shot off in the 24-second clock. It made me think that they were playing the Pistons from the old days when defense was just stifling opponents. And I was thinking, do I give Houston this much credit? Or is it the fact that the Warriors' offense is just that god-awful at a time when they needed a set play? With that being said, it was stated earlier that the Warriors, because they lost, they could get some much-needed rest. They could sleep in their own beds. They can have practice. I am on board with that, and I hope that it can make them better for the games coming up. With that being said, I am definitely fatigued on the roller coaster ride that Wiggins takes me on. I know he plays good defense. I know he can score 16 to 18 points. When he does that, well, you know, we chime in on how good he is. But it's so inconsistent. But with that being said, who can we get, right? If you get someone like a Butler, you have to trade your depth. I want to see Kuminga step up, but his ball handle is just, it's atrocious. And when I see him play within the scheme of the Warriors, it's a little jittery. It's herky-jerky a little bit. So I'd like for him to get a little more fluidity. Does that mean more time? So I guess I subscribe to the Schroeder. I like his ball handle. I like how he could set up plays. I think he would fit this team. like you all said, I wouldn't give up a first-round pick for him. But if there was any way where we wouldn't lose our depth, if we could get him, I think he would help Steph out tremendously. I wish we have a little more rim protection. And I would just probably roll the dice with this team and see what we could get in the February the trade deadline. Can we pick up some size where we could be better rim protectors? And then just trust in the fact that Dunleavy could pick some better players to go with the scheme moving forward. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks, Gloria. Stay safe out there. Everybody stay safe. It's a windy day in the city. Yeah, I think, I think that the Houston game leaves everyone with a sour taste in their mouth because it's not the first time we've seen it. But that was the first time, Sam, that I remember seeing the ball being in Curry's hand as much as it was in the final 4 minutes. Basically, they just gave him the ball every single time. And them not being able to get a shot on consecutive possessions or multiple possessions. Like, they had two 24-second shot clock violations, a turnover, and a missed three. They blew that game. And it was the first time that I can really remember thinking they blew that game because they basically leaned too much into Steph Curry. I've never felt like that before in my life. You talked about it early in the first hour that this is the first season you've seen Curry really age. Curry looked old in the final 3 minutes against the Houston Rockets. He hasn't looked old over the course of the season, but increasingly so, he's going to look older, and those moments are going to happen. That's the reason why I think the Warriors are trying to go get another big-name superstar. It is as much about pairing him with Steph as it is Steph might need not just a running mate, but a player that's better than him in those situations alongside to help carry the team home because he can't do it anymore consistently.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it is getting to that point there. He does need that extra score to kind of help him out there. I think that kind of gets into, another interesting trade option that was brought up yesterday by Bobby Marks. I believe we have that sound if you want to play it, about Zion Williamson. There's that name again. If you want to play this, we can play the sound first. Just
throw to it. I got it.
There we go. Let's hear what Bobby Marks had to say on ESPN yesterday.
I've always circled, and we talked about it earlier in the week, Golden State would be certainly that team there for Zion here. And here's why. If you're looking for that next superstar that maybe can have that upside, I think Williamson could be that guy if he's healthy. And when you look at it, what would New Orleans or Golden State have to go give out and trade? Andrew Wiggins certainly is that big trade number. And then you look at it certainly from a player like Brandon Podziemski, for example. And then we're going to put Kevon Looney in there. And that works there. So certainly Golden State, if you don't have to give up and you're looking for that potential all-star out there on a low risk there.
Like those names there, Podziemski, Kevon Looney. But yeah, I know. What's your thought about that? Wiggins, Pods, and Loon for Zion trade.
That's a very interesting deal. And the more I think about it, oh God, it's hard for me to say yes. And the reason is because of injury concerns. Zion Williamson has essentially played one full season. And when he has, he's been unbelievable. Last year, I think he played more than 70 games. He was healthy. I think the New Orleans Pelicans advanced past the Lakers in the play-in if he finishes that game, in which he was unbelievable. He was incredible. Zion Williamson, to me, is a bona fide superstar when he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't play.
Yeah.
And right now, he's dealing with the same chronic hamstring issue that kept him out for over 50 games 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, Zion Williamson, games played since he came into the league as the number one pick in 2019. 24 games as a rookie, 61 games in that 2021 season. Did not play the 21-22 season. 29 games in the 22-23 season when he was an all-star. And then, of course, 70 games last year and so far 6 games this year. So, yeah, the availability concerns, absolutely an issue. I think you mentioned earlier he's dealing with a hamstring injury this year that has been very recurring for him. That's been hard to get him on the court. The reason I say yes, though, to a Zion Williamson trade is that if Jimmy Butler, a Jimmy Butler trade is going all in for the right now, and if it falls short, then you're picking up the pieces, you know, forever afterwards. The Zion Williamson trade, I feel like, gives the Warriors the best chance to get a trade that can help them for the now, but also can set them up for success in the future. He has 3 years left on the current deal that he has, so you would have him for a little bit while longer. And I feel like, again, he's 24 years old right now. I mean, talk about Jonathan Kuminga. You know, he's 22 years old. He's got so much more to go. Add two more years onto it, and you just that's where Zion's at. So there's still a lot of basketball left for Zion there, a lot of room left for him to get better as a player. And if the goal is to, you know, keep this train on the tracks and running smoothly in the post-Steph years, a guy like Zion Williamson, who has that superstar potential, that is a great guy, I think, that you can build the next generation of Warriors basketball around, especially if you're able to kind of keep, if you keep Jonathan Kuminga, you got size there. Obviously, there's other, you know, parts of the roster you'd have to address, but between Kuminga and Zion, I think you got guys you can start building around there as Steph and Draymond fade into the final days of their career.
So I agree, but and this is where I actually differ from Bobby Marks. So again, we talked about this, right? The two big contracts that the Warriors could move, I think everyone just assumes it's going to be Wiggins, right?
That seems to be the assumption, yes.
If you trade for Zion Williamson this season, I would actually prefer to include Draymond Green over Andrew Wiggins. And the reason is, if you trade for Zion, you're officially building for the future because you cannot rely on him being available in 2024. You might not be able to rely on him being available next season. But the benefit is that you get a Zion Williamson that is under contract through his age 27 season through 2027-28. I don't think Draymond Green is going to be as effective of a basketball player at that point. Stephen Curry might not be effective of a basketball player at age 40 by the time that Zion's contract is up. If you're trading for that risk, that question mark, it's because you're looking beyond this year. You're right. You're not just building for this season. In fact, I think you might put yourself in a worse position for this year because the hamstring issue, again, is something that has plagued him throughout his career. Injuries have plagued him throughout his career. That's a high-risk, high-reward move that I don't think necessarily benefits you this year, but you pair Zion with Kuminga, with Wiggins, with Curry. To me, I would think more so about including Draymond than Wiggins in a deal. If that's what you want to do, I would include Draymond's contract instead of Wiggins.
No, you actually make a lot of sense there because I do think there's almost kind of some redundancies there too with Draymond and Zion in terms of just kind of what skill sets they bring to the table. And Wiggins, where you do need that shooting. Wiggins does have that shooting ability there that would be able to kind of add that extra space for Zion as well. And I'll be honest, when I look at bringing a Zion Thuray trade, I'm banking on that Warriors culture that we've seen over the last few years kind of kicking in and working its magic there. And that's a lot harder to quantify. But we've seen in the past the Warriors have brought guys in and just provided a better situation for them. Andrew Wiggins is a perfect example of that. Andrew Wiggins was considered a lost cause for the longest time in Minnesota. He comes here to Golden State and he's found a second life in his career. And so I'll be banking on that to kind of happen with Zion. Maybe that's a lot to bank on as well. You know, Dr. Rick Celebrini, you're going to have your work cut out for you getting Zion healthy there with that hamstring. But that's where I try to think about this, how Joe Lacob would approach it. And, you know, if I'm Joe Lacob, I'm thinking about what is the best avenue to the next championship. That's what I'm thinking about. And if there really is no legitimate avenue right now, despite all the resources you have, if that still is not enough, then I'm not going to pivot and try and throw all the assets into winning right now if there's just no pathway there. So the next best path is, how do you keep moving this train forward? Because when Steph retires in a few years, you know, Joe Lacob's still going to be here. Joe Lacob's still going to have a team that he has to run, that he has to, you know, make win basketball games. And when you can kind of, you could play it out with Steph, and then when Steph and Draymond retire and ride off into the sunset, start over fresh, kind of like what the Oklahoma City Thunder did a few years ago, and they started kind of stockpiling draft picks, and we've seen how that's worked out for them. Or so you take that approach, it's a bit longer, or you speed it up a bit with a building block like Zion. So yeah, I think it's, if you're going after a Zion Williamson, you're basically taking the risk for this year, but whatever the risk is this year, the next 2-3 years, I think you put yourself in a position to, I think, still keep this thing going, and then move that then you could transition the Warriors from the Steph era to the Zion era. Maybe it's a Zion Wiggins era, something like that, but it sets you up both now and long term. This is why I feel is the most advantageous trade for the Warriors to kind of pounce on right now.
Well, but you're also risking getting a player that is played 190 games in 5 years. From his age 19 to age 24 season. Like, yeah. Ideally, this is when Zion should be the most healthy in his entire career. The thing about Wiggins, and yes, right, he was somewhat of a reclamation project. He was a toxic contract at the time the Timberwolves wanted to get off. He also never missed a game. Like, Andrew Wiggins, I think this gets lost in his career. Andrew Wiggins was an Iron Man, and I think that's been kind of rewritten because of the last few seasons and some absences because of off-the-court issues. But Andrew Wiggins, I think, only had one season or two before he got to Golden State, in which he didn't play all 82 games. Like, he played a lot. And so while he might not have been an effective player at all times, he was always available. And that's something that Zion Williamson could never say, because he has averaged less than 40 games through his first 5 seasons in his career. That, to me, is a big red flag. And I think the reason why he's even available in the first place. So you are taking a big swing, but Zion is a guy that I would be hesitant to move for unless you're okay with potentially not competing this season, because I can't expect him to be on the floor.
No, and that is the biggest issue.
Like, you might, yeah. If you trade for Zion Williamson, I don't care whether it's Wiggins or Draymond, whoever you want to move off of, and you have to add other players too. But,
and draft picks.
Sure. You risk not making the postseason this year. Like, you risk being a lottery team this season because he's not available. That's where the New Orleans Pelicans are. They're at the bottom of the Western Conference because they can't stay healthy. So if you trade for that player, to me, you're trading for next season and beyond. And while he's a great talent, I think when he's on the floor, he might even be better than Curry at his advanced age, potentially. But That's a Joey Gallo swing, dude. Like,
it comes down to, do you think you could get him healthy? And that's unfortunate question. I think only the Warriors can really answer right now. I don't know how healthy. Again, I look at the situation: is he not good to go, or is this a situation where it's a 5-21 Pelicans team? And it's like, why are we rushing Zion back for a team that's going nowhere right now? You bring him onto a team that actually has potential in the future. Maybe that changes things. I'm not saying he gets miraculously more healthy. But it's just a different situation, different culture. I want to see if the Warriors can cook something up there with Zion. At least just give it a shot, because I don't know what other options you really have in terms of just kind of being able to beef up the roster now and in the future.
Well, let's try and sneak Steel Toe and San Mateo in as a trade offer for the Golden State Warriors. Steel Toe, what's going on? Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah. Thank you, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm out on Zion. The one I think is the best kind of trade offer, and a guy who's in his prime, and it'll help everything that the Warriors really lack in ball handling and getting rid of the turnovers, and real bucket getter. He's in his prime right now, and he's up there like with Alexander and almost Anthony Edwards. Is we need to trade for De'Aaron Fox. That guy could get anything he wants. He could assist anywhere. He's got the ultimate ball handling. That have those two guys, Steph Curry and Fox, could probably be better than Garland and Donovan Mitchell up in Cleveland. They can even compete with Dallas with the 2-point guards over there with Luka and Kyrie. I mean, that'll be the best two ball handling combination in the whole league, and no more turnovers, and De'Aaron Fox can hit free throws. He could score in the paint. He could do everything all those guys can't do. Butler and Eddie George. I mean, Paul George. I just think De'Aaron Fox is the perfect guy to get right now while the Kings are desperate. Thank you.
I got you, Stilto. Let's kick that around on the other side, because I think he's in the same category as a Zion. Obviously a little bit different player, but this idea of trying to trade to get younger as opposed to picking out one of these established superstars, is that an avenue for the Warriors to go down? 888-957-9570 is the number. Big Smoothie in Oakland. Please hang on through the break. We'll get you on the other side. We got to hit a break here, though. Sam Lubman in for Dan Devone with Evan Giddings on Warriors This Week. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.